You're listening to a 95BFM podcast.
In light of fashion revolution this week, 95BFM reporter Tess Barnett chatted to Rose Hope about ethical fashion. So Rose owns K Road's Bread and Butter Letter, a curated vintage clothing and craft store, which is located up at 225 K Road. Have you been up to that store before, Will?
No.
Right. Well, I'm turning your mic off. No. I have been up to that store, and it's such a great little store. It's got all of these, obviously very curated vintage clothing, so you don't have to kind of trawl through. You're essentially paying for them to trawl through the op shops for you and find the good stuff.
I just can't bring myself to spend so much money on op shops. Not diminishing those places by any means, but
fair enough. It's cheap. It's cheaper though, usually.
Yeah.
And more ethical.
Yeah.
And more environmentally friendly.
Yeah.
Have I convinced you to shop there yet?
I just don't like spending much money.
So anyway, Rose might convince you otherwise in this interview. So she chatted to Tess about conscious consumerism and how she sees that from her vintage store on K Road.
So it's been Fashion Revolution Week and you run a shop on K Road called the Bread and Butter Letter. So for anyone who doesn't know, can you just run us through a bit about what you guys do?
Yeah, well, me and Sarah, my business partner, we have the Bread and Butter Letter, which is a little cute sunny spot, and we sell vintage clothing alongside the best of New Zealand design and giftware, and that's without any Kiwiana bullshit. yeah, and so we're just trying to focus on the way that I try to describe it, because customers come in and they get confused, like, so what is this? Is this an op shop? And I try to say, we hunt down the best of what we can find. So if you have to consume, you're putting your money in good places. Like, we source our clothing from non-for-profit op shops. And so that's like tens of thousands of dollars every year going into, you know, Salvation Army and St. Vincent de Paul, as well as when you're buying that scented candle, it's going into your community's mum's back pocket while she pours it while baby's asleep.
Yeah, kind of thing. Yeah.
So, yeah, just really trying to be intentional about what we provide while doing it in a way where it's things that you actually want to use, things you actually want to wear, without going down that tourist souvenir route.
Yeah.
And just really also shining a light on independent alternative artists as well, and giving them a platform to show their goods.
Cool. Yeah. So why did you guys originally decide to open the store?
Sarah had a bit of time and I was at uni, so I was wagging, so I had a lot of time, and she lived above a cute little spot, and so she dreamed about creating a store, and we're like, yeah, fuck it, let's do it. And am I allowed to swear?
Yeah, you're allowed to swear. That's fine.
Yeah, and so we thought, yeah, let's start a store. And at that time, she literally had a whole extra room in her flat full of vintage clothing that she'd been hoarding and not wearing. So, you know, we thought, oh, let's do vintage clothing. As well as at that time, I don't know if you remember, but like Craft Bomb and heaps of craft markets were like actually doing so well, and a really exciting way to spend your weekend. So we also kind of got inspired by the craft market scene, but wanting to be open all week. So we had lots of really handmade, you know, ceramics and embroidery alongside the vintage clothing.
Yeah.
Admittedly, we're beyond that a bit now, and it's less, you know, kitsch and things like that, which that scene was 7 years ago back in my day.
Yeah.
And now we focus a bit less on the need to be extremely handmade, but more goods being provided by local makers and things like that.
Yeah, for sure. So in a letter you recently sent out in your mailer, and you talked about conscious consumption and the value that you were providing for your customers. So what kind of value did you find that your customers were coming in and saying that they were getting from your shop?
Yeah, so Sarah and I, as I said, we started the store because we just liked the look and the fun and the appeal of vintage and handcrafted goods. But then customers would come in and just kind of say, yeah, this is so important, you know. I try not to buy anything unless it's secondhand, or I try not to buy anything that's, you know, from a commercialized, you know, they buy independent. And we were like, well, that's cool.
Yeah,
sounds great, you know, we could use that for marketing.
But
the more we started to learn about it, yeah, things started to really change for us, and we started saying no to a couple of suppliers and started telling people when they're like, does this look good on me? And it didn't, you know, really being like, I don't think you need it. I think this is made for someone else. It's waiting for someone else, you know. And it really started to inform how we did business. And then over the last 5 years, I feel like we're all learning and hearing so much about really important issues that it's become such a passion project of mine to just really let people know, because people let me know about like the necessity of that. We just have to make a change, you know, like no one should work in unsafe factories because I love fashion, you know, and so just having to pull back from purchases from places, you know, fast fashion,
Well, it kind of, that kind of segues into this whole idea of conscious consumption, which you did talk about in your mailer that you sent out. So can you touch on that a little bit?
Yes. Conscious consumerism is when one purchases with awareness of the impact of purchasing decisions on the environment and the workers. And that's why we see such a rise with people against animal cruelty and animal testing. And it's like a really, I think it's an exciting time to be in right now, as we're seeing people change, you know, the way that they manufacture because consumers are saying, hey, this isn't good enough.
Definitely. You touched on before, like, your struggle with consuming things and, like, the desire to want to buy stuff because you like it, but pulling back because of this whole thing of conscious consumerism. So can you tell us a bit about your struggle with that and how you kind of came to terms with where you are now with owning the store?
I think I found it real hard at one point, just realizing so many issues I really care about. Waste and the way that you tan leather really puts a, you know, a massive tax on the environment and riverways and things like that. And so I became convinced that a lot of our problems are just based on that we're consuming too much.
Yeah.
And I found it really hard because I owned a store and I'm saying, hey, you should buy this. Yeah. Here's another Instagram poster. This is pretty cool. You should probably buy this.
Yeah.
And yeah, I was really conflicted. And I think I came to a point just knowing that consumerism isn't necessarily going to go away.
Yeah.
And therefore, what Sarah and I are trying to do is pretty important in my eyes, to sell goods that you don't have to feel bad about purchasing. So we say to everyone, if you have to buy something, then, you know, put your money in good things. So my granddad, for example, he sells with us, he sells some hand-turned wooden pens that he upcycles from offcuts of wood. And I think that's, yeah, it's a gorgeous story. And everyone can imagine my 85-year-old Dutch granddad, you know, doing something really cute. But it's also really important because if you need to buy a pen, hey, why don't you have an intentionality behind it and buy something that is made locally, made responsibly, and, you know, put your money where your mouth is, you know? And same with clothing. Buying vintage is a great way to just opt out of the cycle of manufacturing.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily saying come buy in my store, you know, but just genuinely I'm so passionate about us just relieving the tensions that we put on garment workers, and even all the way back down to the people growing the cotton, you know, it's who's looking out for them. In saying that, I don't buy vintage 100% of the time, you know. I also think it's really important that we support people who are doing, probably have a team of 20 more people to make sure things are ethical and have great supplier relationships and great transparency with the way that they conduct themselves way through to the production line of the raw materials. And so people like Outland Denim has been proved to, you know, get 100% on their Ethical Fashion Guide award, which is really cool. I had never heard of them, but hey, next time I need denim, it's really hard to find in an op shop, you know. I'm gonna choose to support people who are working, doing probably quite a thankless job. I wouldn't want to do it and you know,
for sure.
So, yeah, buying local or buying secondhand. Simon Pound from Ingrid Stans, I love him. He always says, you know, if every dollar was a vote for the world that you want to live in, you know, what would you buy? And so I want to see a world without injustice and exploitation. And so there's no way in hell I'm going to go to Kmart.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. They got a B+ on the guide, but that is because they have A+ policies and D- worker empowerment, which means they're all talk and full of shit. And so, I do want to encourage listeners out there that some things are still really hard, like undies and socks.
Yeah,
and
super hard.
If you want to, you know, if you need to buy undies and you don't want to buy them secondhand, which I have in the past, secrets out of the bag, they're super cute, you know, buy them, but go on social media and go at the warehouse. Hey, who made my clothes?
Yeah.
I bought this, but I would like to hold you accountable. Yeah, I heard a stat recently that said most major companies, after they get hundreds, you know, like over 100 of something, it has to go to the top of the tier of the marketing or production line. At the end of the day, we need to remember that as consumers, we have power.
Yeah.
We have, you know, these guys are wanting to line their pockets by, you know, with all the profits that they get off the backs of forced labor and modern slavery and, you know, child workers. And so at the end of the day, if we take away their profits because we're taking away their business, they're going to listen. And we're seeing changes.
Yeah.
You know? Dirty old bastards, H&M, you know. They're still rating real bad, but they're putting procedures in place to protect environmental concerns.
Yeah, which is huge.
It's huge. Mm. I mean, personally, I put the worker first, but I know it's such a big issue. If you just want to choose
such
one,
a broad issue,
just go for one. And, you know, buy your H&M blouse and feel great in it, but make sure you hold people accountable and say, hey, I want to support you, but are you representing the workers?
Yeah.
Because if you are, you're representing me. At the end of the day, we're seeing progress from our complaints and, you know, the Tier Fund guide is about to update their policies. Well, not their policies, but the way they grade things. And next year we're going to see people graded on their environmental responsibility and gender issues, sexual harassment or gender discrimination while recruiting, because 80% of women make up the garment industry and they're mothers and migrants and young people and so they're traditionally vulnerable. And so that'll be really great to see, and I'd love to hear from brands like Lonely who really support, they don't retouch their photos, and so us as consumers, we're like, oh wow, they're really for the woman, but are they for women, the woman who make it?
Because,
if you are a feminist brand, can you support women all around the world?
Yeah,
and so people
for sure.
Like the Loyal Workshop, who we sell in our store, it's a great company that have slowly got female workers from India, like sex workers, out and given them a trade. It's something that they can have a lot of dignity in. Apparently the families, you know, just they get changed from the inside out by having a new skill, and it's a skill that can take them out of Calcutta and into further parts of India if that's what they want to do. And so they have their names inside each bag that we sell, and it's cool because someone across the world is carrying their name and giving, you know, that worker a shout out, you know.
Yeah,
and so
for sure.
It's really exciting. The conversation is growing, and I think the store has been a little bit of a litmus test to see how society is changing and how conversations are growing. And I love, for example, nowadays we sell the reusable straws and the bamboo toothbrushes. Mm. And that has just exploded in popularity recently. And we see customers, you know, we say, do you want a bag with this? And they're like, not if it's plastic.
Yeah.
And that just wasn't the case when we started out. We'd say, do you need a bag?
For
and they're
sure.
like, yeah, we need one. It's like, do a nude one.
Totally.
I'm just really excited as for where we're at as a greater community, and the BFM listeners are all part of that. UK Road hood rats, love you guys. But at the end of the day, we got to stay gracious and patient and tell the people, you know, at work who are using, you know, even they're not bringing their keep cup, you know, just I think we should all just be graciously encouraging each other to be better and be proud of the scores that you find at the op shop, and when someone compliments them, say, I choose to do it because .. And if we just keep the conversation going, I'm sure that the bubble will grow.
So
I'm excited, and let's just stay positive and keep talking about it.
That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.